And as we have said earlier tonight, they will come in many shapes and form. The devil doesn't dress up the same way twice. He will wear a new suit the next time he tempts us. And he appears in many guises, and we need to be on our guard. Hold fast, not allowing, tolerating this kind of wickedness in the Lord's church. Now, the next one is hold fast to the long suffering of Christ. And I get that in verse 21, where it says that the Lord gave to this woman, I gave her space to repent. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. I really appreciate the opportunity again to bring you the message of God's Word. And we're turning to Revelation chapter 2. We're looking at church number 4, Thyatira. The church with a big problem because they have here this lady called Jezebel. Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. She is not recognized by others, but she is a self-acclaimed prophetess. And she has come to teach and to seduce God's servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So here is a woman without conscience, without any consideration for the ruination of souls, and she calls herself a messenger from God. And there's only one thing to be done with her. God says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. There's no repentance, and that is the order. There is to be a long-suffering to a degree to allow for repentance, for a person to see the error, acknowledge that they are wrong, and to accept the truth of God. But where there is no repentance, we find that she is to be cast out. And as you read here, this book of Thyatira, the church was to hold fast. They were not to lessen the standard or lower the standard, but they were to hold fast the truth. And this really comes to us as well. In our church ministry, are we holding fast to the essential doctrines of the gospel? Are we standing firm on the Bible as the inerrant and infallible Word of God, of the deity of Jesus Christ, of the essential need of the person, the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, and those doctrines that are vital to our salvation? And so I want you to stay tuned with us as we turn to the pulpit ministry of our church to let the Bible speak on the Church of Thyatira, the church that was called upon to hold fast. When I was a new Christian, I remember every morning after milking time, first thing you did on the farm was get to that milking in the morning. And when that routine was over, it usually took about 2 hours in total. By the time you got those animals in through the milking parlor, washed up, everything ready for that tanker to arrive and take the milk, that took about 2 hours. So I was usually at 18, 19 years old, the hungriest man in the world. I was ready for breakfast. And I remember eating big breakfasts after that morning milking period. And then as a new Christian, I would steal up to my bedroom and I would have a little prayer time, a little Bible reading. And it was just in minutes. It was just minutes. But those minutes with the Lord, I can remember them to this hour. Now, when I go to my study to pray and I get on my knees, it's not always just minutes. We need, as growing Christians, to not just be cutting corners and keeping it short. We need to spend real time. And that is when we know that we are growing in the Lord. And we certainly can't afford to slacken. And as the Lord looked at this church, he commended them that they were not slackening. And he said, hold fast. Hold fast till I come. And this was a wonderful encouragement to their hearts. In verse 20, we are to hold fast the corrections which the Lord gives us. He goes into corrections now in verse 20, and he talks about this Jezebel and this suffering, this allowing this woman prophetess, as she claims, a woman preacher in their midst, and she claims to have revelations, or prophetess, is that, it means that, and her message of the day was she gave license to sin. And so this was going from bad to worse. A woman in the pulpit, the devil in a skirt, and she's giving people a license to sin. And her list of things that a Christian could do freely were vile. And so she needed to be correction. And we see that it was leading to fornication and idolatry. Now, the Bible tells us that by their fruits ye shall know them. That is to be our criteria for assessing, judging. And the Christian is to judge, by the way. Do not fall for that lie, judge not that ye be not judged. That was said to hypocrites, Pharisees, who had beams in their own eyes, and they were going around plucking out the little specks out of other people's eyes. They were hypocrites. But the mature biblical Christian is to judge. We are to exercise discernment. We are not to fall for every wind of doctrine. And the Bible is clear that a woman is not to teach in the church. That's a biblical doctrine. And that has been held by churches of various stripes in the Christian world right down through the ages until the birth of Pentecostalism. And in 1 Timothy 2:12, the apostle said, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's where the Bible begins and ends, on the matter of women teaching the whole congregation in the church. When I first came to Canada, on a Sunday night, there was a program on Radio Kerry called the Bernice Gerard Hour. Now, I have to say that it took me about a year to discover that this was not a man preaching, because it was a man's voice to me. And I was quite shocked when I discovered that this was a woman. And Bernice Gerard was a Pentecostal preacher come politician. She was right on the money on issues of the day, and very listenable, a very good radio voice, I might say. And she spoke to the issues. Just about a month ago, I was asked to conduct a funeral for a lady at the Brookside Care Lodge, and she was related to Bernice Gerard. And when I used to go in there from month to month, she would tell me the connection and the stories and so on of Bernice Gerard. Now, the Jezebel of today is a lady called Joyce Meyer. She and her ministry claims to reach 3 billion people. Now, I doubt that. That seems phenomenal. That's almost half the population of the world. But she does have international radio, television messages, and I have to even say that my own mother listens to her. I don't know how often and how much she takes in, but there's a lot of people around the world that are listening to the teaching of Joyce Meyer. And my problem is not just that she is a woman, My problem is that what she teaches is the devil's gospel. It is a word that is another gospel. And Joyce Meyer received her education at a place called Life Christian University in Tampa, Florida. The same place where people like Rodney Howard Brown, Benny Hinn, and a number of others received their so-called theology training. And so like breeds like. And Joyce Meyer teaches that just as God spoke the world into being, there is power in words. And God gives to every Christian who is made in the image of God the power to speak things into being. And so you think it, you claim it, you speak it, and it will come to pass. And of course, this is tied into the prosperity gospel. Now, the interpretation they take of the Old Testament is like those promises that were given to Israel in the days of Joshua, that I'm going to give you the promised land, and I'm going to extend your boundaries, and I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey, a place of plenty and prosperity. And all of those promises that were given to historic Israel on that occasion, they will drive out the enemies, open up this rich and wealthy country for my people. Joyce Meyer says, God is doing that today. And you just have to take those promises and claim them, and therefore God will bless them. Now, my Bible tells me that there are no more revelations. There are no more prophets. There are no more prophetesses. It's according to the book. God speaks by this word, and they are to be checked against the message of darkness. If you look at verse 24, the Lord says, but I say unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. None other burden. And so here we are with a finished Bible, a finished book, and the ministry is to be a blessing and not to be a burden. But we're to hold fast against messengers of darkness. And as we have said earlier tonight, they will come in many shapes and form. The devil doesn't dress up the same way twice. He will wear a new suit the next time he tempts us. And he appears in many guises, and we need to be on our guard. Hold fast, not allowing, tolerating this kind of wickedness in the Lord's church. Now, the next one is hold fast to the long-suffering of Christ. And I get that in verse 21, where it says that the Lord gave to this woman, I gave her space to repent. Now, this is God's grace and mercy, and it's God's way of dealing with sin in his church. He gives the opportunity for repentance. And so should we. Any action, any rebuking, any warning should be given with a space to repent, with the object of restoring, getting the person back on track, getting them over the hump of going the wrong way and back into serving the Lord. And whatever steps we take, we should do it with long suffering to sinners, long suffering to the person in error, the person who is confused and maybe tempted by the devil very individually. And we should pray with them, witness to them, work with them, that we might see them back on track and back into blessing again. And then comes the warning, verse 22. There's the space to repent, but then there's the final warning. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And so here's a very solemn message here. God is not going to tolerate this woman. And while there is long suffering in the church, and while there is toleration in the church, God is not going to allow this woman to continue for long. And so they are to warn and reject, and yet to do it in the long suffering of the Lord's mercy. Hold fast also to the encouragement that the Lord gives in verse 24. And I come back, I lay no other burden. The Lord gives a word of encouragement here. And I think of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 11, 28, take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. My burden is light. And the Lord doesn't burden his people. And we're to hold fast that we have a ministry that the weary, the bedraggled, the confused may be brought into blessing and into fellowship. We move then to verse 26, and we are to hold fast to the hope of one day reigning with Christ. This is the reward that is given to the church at Thyatira. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And what wonderful words of encouragement and of hope are given to the child of God. Now we need to let this sink in. Reign with Christ. Reign over the nations. Now, this is nothing new in the Bible. If you go to the Gospels, Matthew 19, Luke 22, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 Timothy 2, Revelation 1, 6. Well, that's nearby. Let's go back to that one. Revelation 1, 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. The Lord has called us to reign with him and to enjoy that wonderful kingdom that God is going to set up. And the simple word of encouragement is that if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. And you read of that in Romans chapter 8, right on down to the 18 to 24. Let me read you just a couple of these verses. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And it goes on to talk about the whole creation groaning until the day of redemption, when Christ returns and he will set up his throne and his kingdom. And Christian, brother and sister, who are called to hold fast, you're going to reign with Christ. You're going to judge over the nations of this world and reign in the power of the Lord. Now, we do not have all the answers to the sufferings of Christians in this world, but we do know this, it's short term. And the eternal reward is that we will reign with Christ, which is far better. The last hold fast is in verse 28. I will give him the morning star. And that's the assurance of the Lord's presence with us. In astronomy, the morning star actually is Venus. Venus is that star that precedes the sun rising in the morning. And it has been called from ancient times, even in the Greek world, it was called the morning star. What the Greeks didn't know, that the morning star is also the same evening star. And it actually precedes the sun in its course. And while it arises in the east and travels all day, usually invisible to us in daylight, of course, but then in the darkness of evening, it can be seen again, and it's also called the evening star. And the Lord says, I will give unto you the morning star. Now, who is that? That's the Lord himself. He is the bright and morning star. He's our guide. He's our encourager. He's our helper in our times of need, care, and struggle. And so the morning star is the first that appears, and it's the first sign of a new day. And it gives us hope. It gives us encouragement that that eternal day is coming, and we're to hold fast until the Lord comes. Do not tolerate sin. Get tough on sin. Keep up your love for the Lord and hold fast until he comes. Now, what a message to a church with a big problem. What a pastoral guide this is. What do we do? How do we manage this? Give her space. Seek her to repent and warn her that the Lord will not tolerate sin. That's the message that comes through to this church at Thyatira. And what a word to us today. Do you have a spiritual problem in your life? Do you have someone that is seeking to drag you down? Is there something that is the very tempter or temptress that is hindering your Christian life? What are you to do? Give space. Warn. And trust the Lord to help you through. Don't surrender. Don't surrender. You see, in the United Church, the Anglican Church, they surrendered. When we went in 1988 to Victoria at their synod meeting, we went there to raise a voice, hold the line. But there were those inside the United Church that voted. And of course, the lay people had the vote. The clergy were the people pushing the agenda. And people voted to support the agenda. They tolerated. And the church is finished. Ichabod is over it. And you can see that in so many that have allowed this apostasy. First, it's a denial of the person of Christ. And then it is the agenda of perversion. And in the United Methodist Church in the United States, the predominant contender for the LGBTQ agenda, it is vile. I have more respect for an atheist than I have for an apostate that denies the deity of Christ, follows an agenda of perversion, and still calls themselves a church man or woman. It is the work of Satan. The depths of Satan, as it's described here in Thyatira. And we are seeking to minister in times of the depths of Satan. And we must hold fast till Jesus comes. by his grace. This is a strong exhortation of the Word of God that we are to hold fast in a world where there is great compromise and where there is a sellout of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to plead with you today about standing up for the gospel. These are times when preachers have turned to so many other things, whether it be entertainment, shallow doctrines, or a misapplication of the Bible, where things like the prosperity gospel, the feel-good subjective gospel, and where the message of Christ and the cross is not preached, where there is no mention of sin, of its curse, of the wrath of God, of an eternal hell, of the need for the blood of Jesus to wash away iniquity and sins. This is the pressing issue. We have thousands of churches in this country where the gospel is not preached, where the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is used trivially and perhaps even misused, misinterpreted for the agendas of men. And so every listener needs to take heed and to search their own hearts and look at what they follow and what ministry you support. Because if it is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, it is a seduction. It is an apostate departure from the truth. And so I exhort you to stand up for the Lord Jesus. Be a separatist. Stand out. And make sure that you worship the Lord in all his fullness. Now again, these are difficult things, and you may want to discuss them with me. So feel free to give me a call or send me an email. All the details are coming up now in these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.